Good Friday. What's good about it, you might ask? Well, I think Ian might help us to answer that question in a short while. It tends to be a rather somber, difficult and thought-provoking day. Another step, if you like, on our journey. First, we've come through Lent, then into Palm Sunday, and then through Holy Week, when things really begin to unravel for Jesus. And now, Good Friday. But our journey will go on. But for the moment, let's just stop. It's 3 o'clock. And let's focus on that symbol, the cruel and heavy cross, and try to understand something of its meaning for each of us. As we turn our minds to prayer, let me read you just a few words from Mark's Gospel. Pilate asked, "Would you like me to release to you this King of the Jews?" He realized by now that the leading priests had arrested Jesus out of envy. But the crowds shouted back, "Crucify him!" Let's pray. We are here, Lord, but not sure what to think, far less say. We have come to be near the cross, near you, like your original followers. Like them, we come with mixed and mangled emotions. We come to watch, yes, watch, in horror, and just at this moment, with a feeling of hopelessness. We come huddled together, some at the back, too shocked to come any closer. Some of us come crouched down, bemused by the swift turn of events. Some of us can't even bear to look. But then we remember your words only yesterday over supper with your disciples. "I will be with you only a little longer." And you had warned us that your time had come. But we did not fully understand. Is this that time? Is this the end? Or the end of the beginning? Are you leaving us for that place you said we couldn't follow? Not for the present anyway, but later. Questions, doubts and fears, O Lord, because we cannot hide our humanity. O God, who knows our frailties, forgive our self-doubts and uncertainties when we are content from a distance to watch others' pain. God, who calls each of us by name, even when we are reluctant, forgive our resistance and our fear of being overwhelmed by the tasks you ask us to take on. God, who offers each of us a cross to carry, help us to be willing participants on a journey we can neither understand nor change. God, who believes in each one of us, help us to go on believing that you take the little each of us has to offer and uses it to make a difference. God, who knows each one of us, calls each one of us, enlists each one of us, help us to hear your voice and ready us to make sacrifices and to serve again. Amen. Readings from Mark's Gospel in chapter 15, reading from verses 25 to 39. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charge against him. It read, "The King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Ha! Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, save yourself and come down from that cross." The leading priests and teachers of religious law also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see and believe." Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so that he could drink. "Wait," he said, "let's see whether Elijah comes to take him down." Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, "This man truly was the Son of God." Amen.
What is good about Good Friday? Well, surely for most people, it's good because it is a holiday, a day off work, and a day off school. What could be better than that? A day when you don't have to get up while it's still dark to feed the wains and coach them out the door to get them to school in time. It is a holiday. And of course, a holiday means a holy day. And that's the real meaning of a holiday. Of course, in Glasgow, we always talked about going on our holidays, and we probably got it more right than most people who talk about holiday. But a holy day is a day apart. It's a day different from all other days. It's a day unique in the history of the world. It's a day that's unique to the church, to the people of God. And so it is a holiday, a holy day in the truest sense of that word. So, Good Friday. Now, I want us for a few moments to try and think for whom Friday could possibly be good. And I want us just to look for a moment at two images that stand in our church. The first image is the cross that we have there. Interestingly enough, a cross that probably would be big enough to carry a human being. And then I want us to look at this cross here, which was a Christmas tree until John Thompson got a hold of it, along with the kids down in Jam. And I think that cross is perhaps more realistic than that cross is. I don't think the Romans would have gone to the trouble, do you, of shaving it down and polishing it up to make it look as good as that. I don't think it would have mattered to them. The same as the people who were being crucified would not have mattered to them. I don't think that wee bit of extra comfort would have been a concern to them, do you? And so maybe that cross is more realistic. Well, I believe that this is Good Friday because for us, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ was good. It brought and still does bring to us hope. And it still bears a message of hope to the world. And for those who will listen and hear that the cross is good news, it ultimately is their salvation. Now, I want us to try and think through how on earth it is that we know that the cross has done us so much good. Go back and understand that for the first disciples, they met with Jesus on several occasions after his resurrection. And for quite some time after that, 40 days we're told, he spoke to them about the things concerning their future and his. And I believe that he would definitely have explained to them what had happened to him and what the cross had meant to him and what accomplishments he had achieved through that cross. And it's interesting, if you look at the Bible from the book of Acts through to the book of Revelation, there is a consistency about the meaning of the cross to Christ and what it achieves for his people. And the following, perhaps, are those that stand out within the whole teaching of the New Testament. The cross is a washing clean, where our sins are completely removed from the record and they are forgiven forever. It's a washing clean. The cross is that place where our guilt is gone and where we are now in God's court or in God's eyes, considered by him no longer guilty. The cross is the place that is a bridge between us and God, where our relationship with God is restored, where everything that was wrong between us and God has now been made right, not by us, but by Christ himself. The cross is the place where we are now at peace and at one with God. And it's interesting, if you like, that that peace is not something we necessarily feel. It is what you might call positional peace. It's a relationship in which we stand of being at peace with God because of Christ. And all of this is accomplished for us by Christ. And so for us to focus ourselves properly on Good Friday, we have to see all that is good about it for us. It's sad that that had to be this way, but wonderful that God in His grace chose to do this for us. It's the ultimate tragedy of sin, and it's the ultimate statement about how awful sin is and what it's done to us and what it has now done to Christ. But nevertheless, it is now over, and it's done, and it's accomplished, and all that is good has now been given to us as a gift. And again, you go back to the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper: "This is my body, which is given for you. This is my gift to you." Let me dare to say that it was also good for Jesus. Now that sounds utterly bizarre. I can see how it's good for me and you because of what He did for us on the cross. But I believe too that it was good for Jesus, no matter how bizarre that sounds. I want you to think for a moment of an event that someone has trained for with exceptional diligence. Let's suppose it's the marathon. You've trained for the event. You've prepared yourself for that. And that's something that Jesus has for these 3 years been preparing Himself for this moment in history when He would stand in that place of salvation for us. He's gone through the temptation. We heard Gordon preach about that at the beginning of Lent. He's gone through so much in His life where He has exercised obedience to God. He's done the hard thing by forgiving His enemies when His enemies were cruel towards Him, showing compassion to many, showing kindness and understanding to His disciples when they so often got it wrong. He was being prepared for this moment. And then the race begins. And imagine the marathon where the runner sets off and is feeling fresh to begin with, and then the grueling heat, and then the pain barrier, and then that moment when the goal is in sight, the finishing line. Exhausted, sore, but the goal has been reached. Exhilaration, good feeling. And this is explained for us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. He, that is Christ, was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy He knew would be His afterwards. Now He is seated in the place of highest honor beside God's throne in heaven. Think about all He endured when sinful people did such terrible things to Him, so that you don't become weary and give up. The joy that was set before Him. What was that joy? Well, it was several things. He returned home to the place where He belonged, the glory of heaven. But that wasn't the most joyful thing. It was in this great boast. Just imagine it. Last night, my daughter, Ailey, came bursting in because she had just achieved her yellow belt at karate. Now, I know that you think that Ailey's a very kind of quiet wee soul, but she gets heavily involved in her karate. She was just bursting when she came in and showed me her yellow belt, bursting with pride at her achievement. And I was bursting with pride at her achievement as well. And I can just imagine Jesus bursting into the Father's presence and into heaven, and where all the angels were present and where all of God's people who had gone were now present, and bursting in there and saying, "Look at my prize. Look what I've done. Look what I've achieved. Everything we set out to accomplish, perfectly done. Complete." Now, as the hymn said, heaven's door is unlocked. And there's the Father seeing the Son coming in to the court of heaven. A huge smile of pride and joy too at what he accomplished. And there are the angels rejoicing in heaven, not over one sinner, but over the salvation of millions and hundreds of millions and billions since Christ. It was good for Christ. It is Good Friday. It's important that we always put it into context, isn't it? We're remembering something that happened, but we must also remember who he is and where he is today. It was good for him, for the moment he gave up his spirit, he had accomplished everything that he had set out to achieve. And finally, it was good for God too. Here he is seeing the mess that we created finally beginning to get put right. The greater part of what was needed to rebuild has now been done by Jesus. It's still a bit of a building site. It's not yet complete, but the foundation was achieved by Christ. For he is described by Paul as the foundation stone, the chief cornerstone of this new rebuilding of something that was broken so badly. And so God is pleased at the accomplishment of his Son. And he is pleased, and it's good for him, because the objects of his love and affection have found a Savior who will make it possible for us to be with him for eternity. What is so good about Good Friday? Solemn, yes. Awesome, definitely. The cross, what a price to pay. But unequaled love is at the heart of everything that has been done and accomplished by Jesus Christ. And today, we can truly say, this is Good Friday. Take with you in your hearts the accomplishments of Christ for you. Let them remain in your mind. Let them remain in your emotions. Never forget Good Friday. And may the grace and the mercy and the peace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us and remain with us evermore.